What should we be thankful for? Well, turn to the book of Psalms, because that's where most of our verses that we're going to look at this morning, that's where we'll find them, in the book of Psalms. Turn first to Psalm 28, verse 7. Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. So first of all, we need to praise God for who He is. And then we need to thank Him for what He has done. I think of the providential protection that God grants to us. Some people say, oh, it was a miracle, I wasn't injured. No, it was probably divine providence. And I think that we all can think of some instance where divine providence saved us from an accident or whatever it may have been. Let me share with you just a personal illustration of divine providence in our life. We were returning home from visiting our daughter in Nampa, Idaho, and we were driving on I-80. And if you ever travel I-80, you know it's truck after truck after truck. Pat was driving, and there was a truck in front of us, so she was going to pass. And they were working on the highway, and a highway workman in a pickup truck was turning over the median, not at a place to turn, but he was. We saw him at the last minute. Pat swerved the car. We missed that truck by a matter of inches. Someone said, boy, were you lucky. No, it was divine providence that protected us. Pat was ready to let me drive after that, you can imagine. How often we're unaware of hidden dangers that God in His providence saves us from. So the next time you are detained by some unexplainable way and delay, we probably should view that as a divine delay or being providentially hindered. I'm sure we're stopped in traffic, maybe we're in a hurry, and we need to remember that. I think that keeps us from irritation, from being so unblessed, when we can realize, hey, it's God watching after us. Maybe there's something down the road that would cause an accident or something of this kind. So don't you want to praise the Lord for divine providence? Most certainly. Kenneth Taylor paraphrases Psalm 63, verses 6 through 7. I lay awake at night thinking of you. Oh, how much you have helped me, and how I rejoice through the night beneath the protecting shadow of your wings. I guess maybe because I had been studying this, I woke up rather early this morning. Usually I lay there and toss and turn and think about problems. But this morning, you know what I thought about? This message. I thought about God's divine providence, His protecting shadow over us. Then turn to Psalm 30 and verse 4. Psalm 30 and verse 4. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. The chief attribute of God is not His sovereignty, it's His holiness. All of the attributes of God, all of the characteristics of God are controlled by His holiness. He is the creator of all that is good. I have a friend that we met when we were doing an interim pastorate there in Chicago. And his favorite phrase, no matter what happens, good or bad, is God is good. I called him yesterday and was talking to him, and I said, you know, I'm going to use one of your phrases in my message tomorrow. God is good. And he said, yes, and always. How true it is. He is absolutely separated from sin and evil. because He is holy. And you well know that because He is holy, what has He told us? That we are to be holy, to be separated not only from sin, but to be separated unto God. Turn to Psalm 90 and verse 15. Psalm 90 and verse 15, speaking of His holiness. There is no unrighteousness in Him. How do you know that? Because the Word of God teaches this truth, and we believe it. Then turn over to Psalm 145. 145. And I think it's probably about verse 17 that we want to look at here this morning. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. So we praise a holy God. Then turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse 137. Psalm 119, 137. Righteous art Thou, O Lord, and upright are Thy judgments. We serve a righteous God. Can God do anything wrong? Can God sin? Well, we know, of course He can't. Why? Because He is righteous. And then Psalm 138, or rather verse 138 of 119. Thy testimonies Thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Because God is righteous, the book that you hold in your hand today is absolute truth, and it's absolutely righteous. That's why we're a Bible church. That's why I trust you brought your Bible today. Because we believe in the truth of God's Word. It's the source of our authority and our life. And then it's 142, verse 142. Thy righteousness is everlasting righteousness, and Thy law is truth. And so what we are looking at this morning is the truth of God's Word. And so we praise the Lord that we serve a righteous and a holy God. Then turn to Psalm 48:1. We see another virtue here that we can thank the Lord for. Psalm 48:1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And we praise Him for His greatness. We're not serving some humanistic type of leader. We're serving God Almighty, the omnipotent God of all creation. And we need to be reminded of that and praise Him for it. The greatness of God is a predominant theme in Scripture. O Lord, how great are Thy works, we read in Psalm 92:5. He is great in power and He's great in mercy. In Ephesians 2:4, chapter 2 tells us we are dead in sins and trespasses. That's our natural state. That's what we have inherited from Adam, dead in sin. But in verse 4, you have the conjunction with a difference. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love with which He loved us. And so we think of the height and the depth of mercy, and the length and the breadth of His love. I don't want what is mine, naturally. I'm glad for God's mercy. He doesn't give to me what I deserve. He gives to me what I do not deserve, which is His grace and His love. So it's the greatness of God that makes Him incomprehensible. We read in Job 9:10, "Who doth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number." In my Bible, the book of Ephesians, I quote, I think it's Psalm 139:6, that I cannot understand all of His greatness. It's too high for me to understand. Will we ever understand all that God has for us? Let me see you nod, yes or no. Some are nodding this way, some are not. I'll go along with you who are not this way. I think through all eternity, we're going to learn more about God. We're never going to learn all about God. If we can learn all about God, what do we become? Little gods. No, there will always be that which we will learn about the Lord. Turn to Psalm 145 and verse 3. Psalm 145 and verse 3, what we've been talking about, His greatness is unsearchable. We're always going to learn about how great our God is. Then turn over to Psalm 107 and verse 8. Psalm 107 and verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. As my friend says, God is good. Without the goodness of God, we would be forever lost in an eternity without hope. The poet has written, there's a wideness in God's mercy. Maybe you know of this. There's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in His justice which is more than liberty. For the love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind. And the heart of the eternal is the most wonderfully kind. Psalm 148:13 says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven." So we praise God for who He is. We thank Him for what He has done for us. Turn to Psalm 9:14. Something we can all praise God for if we know Him as our salvation. I will rejoice in thy salvation. How often I thank the Lord for my salvation in Jesus Christ. Every day we ought to be praising the Lord and thanking Him for His finished work on the cross. Paul spoke to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, now catch this, we know it, it's there, you've heard it before, but think of it this morning, we are accepted in the Beloved. What a wonderful thing that we can praise the Lord for. God has accepted us as His children because we are in Christ Jesus. That's our position in Him. We thank Him for His enabling power. The only way you can praise the Lord in a way that pleases God is to do it through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Not in the flesh, but through the enabling power that we have through the Holy Spirit who lives within us. In John 15:5, Christ is talking about He is the vine, we are the branches. He says, without Him, we can do nothing. Nothing in the flesh is going to please God. But we turn over to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And it's through the power of the Lord Jesus and through His work in the Holy Spirit that indeed we can be fruitful in His eyes. My life's verse, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. That's 1 Timothy 1:12. And I think we can all just praise the Lord that the Holy Spirit indwells us and enables us to serve the Lord in a way that people can take note of, but in a way that pleases God. And then think of all the spiritual blessings that we've been blessed with in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:3. And then all the material blessings that we have. Listen, the poor of us here this morning are richer by far than most of the people in the world today. And so we praise the Lord. You know, the Scripture says that God is delighted in the prospering of His people. He takes great delight that we prosper spiritually, physically, materially, in every way. Then in 2 Corinthians, turn over to 2 Corinthians. We'll go to the New Testament for a moment. And in 1 Corinthians, or is it 2 Corinthians I want? It's 2 Corinthians, a familiar verse of Scripture, talking about how God comforts us and the purpose for comforting us every day. Chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. In your mind, think of a time that God comforted you when you were going through a trial. And then think of how you were able to comfort someone who was going through a similar type of trial. That's what this verse is talking about here this morning. So that's what we should be thinking about and what we are to thank the Lord for. What about how we should express our thanks? Turn to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 9. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. With our whole heart. David spoke of wholeheartedness a great deal. That's talking about enthusiasm. There are times when we want to really praise the Lord through our enthusiastic remembering of what God has done for us. But then there are those silent times, aren't there? Oh, God in Zion, we wait before You in silent praise. That's how Kenneth Taylor paraphrased Psalm 65:1. We wait before You in silent praise. Then with our mouth, turn to, well, you know this verse, Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, we're going to have a testimony meeting, Thanksgiving Eve service, the combined service we have with Grace and Calvary Bible Church. Now, if there's any noise in the church at all you have to do is say, let's have a testimony meeting, and absolutely silence. And here it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So be ready here Wednesday evening to give a testimony, a popcorn testimony. You know what that is? You pop up, pop off, and pop down. Hebrews 13:15. Because we are believers, priests, we are encouraged to praise God with the fruit of our lips. That's the sacrifice we make today. We don't bring a lamb to church for a sacrifice. We don't sacrifice a lamb on our holy days or on Thanksgiving. No, we make the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. That's how we bless the Lord. Then turn to Psalm 105 verse 2. Psalm 105 and verse 2. Sing unto Him. Sing praises unto Him. Now there are over 75 references indicating that our praise is to be expressed in song. I'm always amazed how many people don't sing. I don't sing like I used to because my voice and preaching now, but I sing to myself and I mouth the words at least because they come from my heart, I trust. And so you say, well, I can't sing. Well, you can make a joyful noise, that's for sure. But at least mouth the words. Don't stand there so stoic that you're not really praising the Lord. Sing. That's what the psalmist said. Sing unto the Lord. You know why? Because He hath put a new song in our mouths, even praise to our God. And the songwriter has said, praise Him, even in joyful song. Then we praise Him with our life. Psalm 119 and verse 7. Psalm 119 and verse 7. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart. That is, with the right kind of living. Our living should praise the Lord. Again, Taylor paraphrases, I will thank You as living as I should. And we're warned in Deuteronomy, beware that we forget not the Lord God in keeping His commandments. And another way to praise the Lord is what we're doing just this morning with one another. Psalm 34:3, if you'd like to turn there. Psalm 34:3. This is what the psalmist is saying, but this is what I'm saying as well to each one of you here today. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. And then Psalm 79:13. Turn to Psalm 79:13. So we, Thy people and sheep of Thy pasture, will give Thee thanks forever. We will show forth Thy praise to all generations. So we're here this morning to praise God. Yes, to be edified, but to magnify the Lord in song as we look to the Word of God. We do it together because we are members one to another. I keep slipping off this stool here. When should we offer our thanks then? Well, Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'll praise the Lord no matter what happens. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, I'll praise the Lord. I read an illustration of a pastor known for always thanking the Lord in his prayer. It was a terrible Sunday morning. The weather was snowing, and it was just awful. One of the members said, I wonder what the pastor will thank the Lord for this morning. And when he prayed, he said, Lord, I thank Thee that every day is not always as bad as this day. You know, praising the Lord and thanking Him gives you a positive attitude, a relaxed mental attitude as you praise the Lord. And so on this Thanksgiving time, We should always be thanking the Lord in this manner. But especially Thanksgiving, the first Thanksgiving. What do you think the pilgrims were thanking the Lord for? For God, for who He is, and for what He has done. The poet has written, "I thank Thee. O Thou whose bounty fills my cup, with every blessing meet. I give Thee thanks for every drop, the bitter and the sweet. I praise Thee for the desert road and for the riverside, for all Thy goodness hath bestowed and all Thy grace denied. I thank Thee for both smile and frown and for the gain and loss. I praise Thee for the future crown and for the present cross. I thank Thee for both wings of love which stirred my worldly nest, and for the stormy clouds which drove me trembling to Thy breast. I praise Thee for the glad increase and for the waning joy, and for this strange, this settled peace which nothing can destroy." What have we been thinking about today? We've been thinking about what we should praise and thank God for, how we should thank and praise God for, and then what we should praise God for, and when we should praise God. And so at this Thanksgiving time, having been put in remembrance of this present truth, may our thinking motivate us to thanking. And now, Father, we give